How does error find its way into the church? I've written an article in the latest edition of the online Issues Etc. journal titled From Exception to Rule, How Error Replaces Truth in the Church, and we'll send it to you for free. Just send your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Jordan Cooper details his journey from Calvinism to Lutheranism. The latest Issues Etc. journal, journal@issuesetc.org.
If you call,
I will answer.
If you fall,
I'll pick you up.
And if you call.
Sometimes the Issues Etc. comment line fills up, and it's time for us to play a few, respond to a few, even before we get to the end of the week. It's one of those times right now. Before the end of this first hour, we're going to spend some time listening to the Issues Etc. comment line, your comments, your questions, your show suggestions. And this is especially useful to our on-demand listeners. People don't often realize the vast majority of our listenership listens on demand. You're probably listening on demand right now. Now, that means you're listening after the actual time the broadcast was on live, and maybe you think, well, I can't ask a question now, I can't make a suggestion, I can't comment now, but you can. That's why we have the Issues Etc. comment line, the number anytime for you to call and leave a question, comment, criticism, suggestion, 618-223-8384, 618-223-8384. Don't forget, when you're listening on demand, the Issues Etc. comment line. First up, a comment about our interview with Dr. Larry Rast, the newly elected president of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, on the topic of seminary education.
This is Paul in Milwaukee commenting on the Monday ministry program with Fort Wayne Seminary new president Larry Rast. I will pray for him and continue to send mites for the seminary library. Professor Rast and Pastor Wilkin made a good scriptural case for rigorous resident education in the school community. Jesus said that if we, plural, continue in his word, then we know the truth and are his disciples. However, I look at the specific ministry program, SMP, on the Fort Wayne website and conclude that working with the seminary at a distance, a high school dropout can become an LCMS clergyman of sorts without proven Hebrew and Greek language skills, without the benefit of iron sharpening iron in the give and take of a classroom or of the resident community, or from broad-based evaluation of the quality of my work or character by a number of veteran instructors or educational administrators. What I seem to need in this program is a single pastor, mentor, supervisor. His own abilities beyond graduation and ordination undemonstrated, who will prepare me with the help of Fort Wayne online computer courses for a narrow, specific ministry. Inner city evangelism might be an example. Can I do my work from bed, Big Macs and rock music at my side and the cards on the tube? Do the seminaries thus become irrelevant in a church seeking to cut expenses? No withering cross-examination in class for my trial sermons, if any. Will I eventually be able to take a general call anywhere as my required post-education supervision, whatever its quality, lapses with time? What, in the end, will form me in my limited church world? With regularly educated seminarians awaiting calls, is there a need for me? Maybe I need to enroll now, lest historian Rast, given what he said on Issues Etc., with the faculty, turn SMP into history. Thanks for listening.
All right. He raises a lot of very good concerns about the so-called SMP, Specific Ministry Pastor program. I will note that in that conversation with Dr. Larry Rast, he shared some of those concerns. I'll talk more about it on the other side of the break. The concerns about the specific ministry program and what it may do to redefine the pastoral ministry.
Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
The essence of God's Word. You're listening to Issues Etc.
If your travels bring you to Northwest Indiana, the Saints of Heritage Lutheran Church in Valparaiso invite you to join us for a Christ-centered, cross-focused divine service at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning. For more information about visiting Heritage, please contact Pastor Joseph Ostafinski by calling 219-464-2810 or sending an email to heritagelc@frontier.com. You can also visit us on the web at www.heritage-lcms.org.
Imagine steadfastlutherans.org as the internet version of your neighborhood pub. Your neighborhood confessional Lutheran pub, that is, where the finest in Lutheran conversation is going on at every table and at the bar, sometimes contentious, but always informative and unabashedly Lutheran. We're only serving Wittenberg Ale. We even have a guy named Norm, so check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.org. We'll save a seat at the bar for you.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd. Welcome to Wednesday afternoon, June the 8th. Listening to some of our listeners' comments from the Issues Etc. comment line before the break. One of our listeners concerned about what's called the SMP, Specific Ministry Pastor Program. Now, this is, as Pastor Rast explained in our interview with him a couple days ago, it's kind of a stopgap measure. He didn't use those words, but if you listen to his response on my concerns about calling a man who doesn't have a full seminary education, who may do some distance learning, who does that learning under the supervision of maybe a couple pastors in the area or a church official, and may not get the full bore education in the languages, that is Greek and Hebrew at the very least, if he gets any education in them at all, it's unclear to me as to whether it's even required of him, which I find unconscionable that someone would be allowed to step into a pulpit or to teach God's word with a collar on, with ordination, without a functioning ability to use the original languages, at least to use them. You don't have to be an expert. You don't have to be able to teach it at the seminary level. You at least have to be able to use them. Even if you use them with great difficulty, you have to be able to go back to the words that we believe are inspired, not simply a translation thereof, and deal with God's word to teach and to preach. It's an absolute necessity, especially in an age when people are more likely to use what? Quasi-translations like the Message or other paraphrases, all the more needful that those who publicly teach and preach God's word be able to handle the original languages of Scripture. Now, Dr. Rast did not use the word stopgap measure, but if you listen to his response, that's essentially what he's saying. This isn't fixed yet. We're trying to fix it. This program is intended to correct a far worse solution that had been in place in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod for a long time. Now, someone who's listening who isn't Lutheran might say, what's the big deal? I mean, I grew up in a Baptist church, and our pastor, he maybe went to Bible college after he decided he was going to be a pastor. He just kind of made up his mind, and we said, wow, that's nice. You sound like a pastor. You can preach a pretty good presentation or sermon. And he became our pastor. What's the big deal? Why the need for all the education? Well, it's because of the seriousness of the call. you expect your doctor to have at least 4 years of medical school, right? And if your doctor came in and said, I didn't go to medical school, you probably wouldn't want him to be your doctor. You say, well, that's medicine. That's life and death. So is the pastoral office. Believe it or not, even more so than the doctor. Even more so than the doctor. You expect the guy who flies you around when you travel with your family to be a licensed, certified, tested, tried pilot with lots and lots of hours in the air, intimately familiar with the plane that he's flying, intimately familiar with all of the rules and regulations that regulate air flight in the United States, able to handle any emergency because he has that kind of experience. Well, you say, come on, he's got 200, 400 people in the plane behind him. Well, a lot of pastors have more than that in the pews in front of them. And it's just as much life and death. So if we expect our pilots or our doctors or anyone else who handles life and death situations to be not just well-educated, but well-formed, well-trained for what they do, we should expect at least that much when we put a man into the pulpit. Now, I have some other concerns. He's right. He mentioned man sharpening man or iron sharpening iron. There is much to be said for kind of shaking out the rough edges that happens over 4 years of being in a classroom with other men who are studying the same thing, who are smarter than you, especially the professors. My biggest concern here is that we're slowly but surely, because we don't know how to fix a problem that we created ourselves when it comes to how we train pastors, we're slowly but surely redefining what the pastor is and what the pastor is for. And then, of course, all your other concerns that you mentioned in your comment about what happens to this guy if he perhaps serves a different congregation. We haven't answered those questions. Stopgap measures are never good in the church. We should slow down, listen to what God's word has to say about something as crucial as the pastoral office, and do it right rather than just doing it to get it done.
Morning, guys. I just wanted to stop in the middle of listening to yesterday's podcast on my morning commute to recommend Pastor Joel Paisley's comment at about the 11-minute, 20-second mark of the interview regarding the first and second Pentecost. Just outstanding stuff. I have no pages filled during my commute of minute markings of different programs, and I hardly ever get back to review them, but there are things that just stand out that I want to consider again. Thank you for that. I want to tell you what a joy it was to hear our church's name mentioned as an Issues 300 Church Friday for the first time when you go through that roll call. That's kind of a neat thing to hear. God bless you guys. Bye.
Now, of course, he's talking about a conversation we recently had with Pastor Joel Paisley on the first and second Pentecost. Pastor Paisley is one of those, talk about the value and the benefit of having a well-trained, well-educated pastor. He's a good example of it. Someone who takes seriously his duties in the pulpit and at the altar, but also is well-educated enough in God's word and, in his case, in German, another language that wouldn't hurt pastors to learn, that he can go back and he can mine the depths of better theologians' writings, better theologians' thoughts, like C.F.W. Walther. Behind me, right behind me where I sit in the studio, there's a little bookshelf, and in that bookshelf, there are at least 7 or 8 books that have been translated by Pastor Joel Paisley. Those books wouldn't be there if he didn't have the kind of education that was afforded to him when they slowed down and said, let's make a pastor right rather than just make a pastor as quickly as we can. And then we're able to mine the depths of other people's insight, other people's wisdom and learning like C.F.W. Walther. That's what you heard in that program. None of the insights were original to me or even to Pastor Paisley. We were simply out there harvesting what C.F.W. Walther had planted 150 years ago. And that's another benefit of having pastors well-trained. Now, we mentioned the Issues Etc. 300. A thanks to every single one of the congregations that sits on the list. You can find the entire list of Issues Etc. 300 congregations at our website. Click Find a Church, issuesetc.org. You'll see there set up state by state, and it covers an awful lot of states, a growing list of congregations that support Issues Etc. all year round by putting Issues Etc. in their budget. It's our congregational sponsorship program, issuesetc.org. Click Find a Church. If you're out traveling, if you're moving, or if you're looking to see if your congregation's on the list, and if it isn't, go and ask them to become part of the Issues Etc. 300. It's almost budget time, but it's not too late. It's never too late to ask your congregation to join the Issues Etc. 300. Time for one more comment from the Issues Etc. comment line.
Yes, I was recently listening to your interview with Dr. Larry Rast, president of the Concordia Seminary, and he was talking about the historicity of the church. And it brought to my mind that I would question certain historical people. And the one person that came to mind was Charles Haddon Spurgeon. But I went to search your archives, and I found that there was nothing that you guys have ever done on that particular person. So I just wanted to call in and say if you would be willing to do a historical perspective on him or on his theology, might be a pretty interesting show. Thank you very much.
All right. That's a great example of what the Issues Etc. comment line is there for. It's there for our listeners. He's listening to some great historical insights from Dr. Larry Rast, and he says, I wonder if they've ever done anything on Spurgeon. Well, two things. That's what our search engine is for at our website. You go there, you can put any topic in there. If we've talked about it, there's a very good chance that you'll find it by looking at our search engine at our website, issuesetc.org. But that's what the comment line is for, a great suggestion. It would be interesting. Now, I guarantee you we're not going to agree with everything Spurgeon had to say, but we have spent many years here on Issues Etc. talking about theologians of every different stripe, and that's one, if I remember correctly, we've mentioned many times, guests have mentioned many times, but I can't recall in my time doing a show. It's a great suggestion. If you think that there's something we haven't talked about on Issues Etc. that we need to talk about, the place to make that suggestion, the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384, 618-223-8384. When we come back, it's hour two of Issues Etc. We're going to spend that hour first with one of those great theologians in the making, a budding fine theologian, Pastor Jonathan Fisk. We're going to talk about superhero stories and the real ultimate story, the story of Christ. There's a reason why when we tell great stories, they all end up sounding alike. Why we long to hear that story again and again and again. It's a story that's told in one and only place, Holy Scripture, in its truest and most ultimate and saving form. We'll talk about that with Pastor Jonathan Fisk. Then we'll spend the second part of the second hour on this Wednesday afternoon with Drew Dick of Leadership Journal and author of the book Generation X Christian, Why Young Adults Are Leaving the Faith and How to Bring Them Back. We'll talk about young adults and their exodus from the church. I'm Todd Wilkin. Hour two of Issues Etc. in 7 minutes.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.